their spiritual rest. And you just heard that Harvard study, a very godless place now, that there is great benefit in being in God's house. So thank you for being here this morning, to all of our regulars and also to those visitors that are here this morning. In preparation for the meeting, of course, we have the 40 days of fasting. And I'm asking you to make an effort when you walk out that foyer. Don't go this way this morning. Go that way. And please sign. Please give God at least one day over these next 40 days. Just say, God, I'm going to put this day aside, whether it's fasting from food or fasting from sports or from food or food, whatever it may be. Just say, God, I'm giving you this day just to seek your face. God would do a great work in our services that week. That God would use Brother Tozier and his wife Angela and their daughter Heather as they come. That God would just do a special work. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Again, I know some of you, because of physical ailments, cannot do a food fast, but there are other ways that you can do that. I'll let that be up to you, how you design that day of fasting, but I would encourage everyone, teenagers, learn to give God a day set apart to fasting. It will benefit you, and just encourage you to do that for senior citizens, for everyone in between. Give God at least one day in preparation for that meeting. You'll also find, as you walk out the foyer doors to the sound room side, there's a table there, and on the table is a box that are for special requests. This is a little blue sheet there in which you can put the names of someone that you are burdened for, that you would like to see come to that meeting. The morning service, as we start out on September 4th, will be directed toward the lost. So if you have someone, a neighbor, a workmate, a relative that you're burdened for, and you'd be willing to put forth the effort to try to bring them here, and if they can't come to first service, listen, any time during the week would be great. But you could place their name there, and you can put just first name, or you can put the full name, and then it says salvation, or maybe they're a Christian, but they're just not living for the Lord. You can mark that, and you can place it in the box, and we'll begin to pray by name for those that you are concerned for. I have a couple men that I've been dealing with, folks that live here in the area, and I'm going to try to get them to come. Now, I don't know if they will, but they won't come if I don't try. So I would encourage you to do that. And again, as Paul said, we have two spots open for homes for the prayer meetings. We have one on the 26th or 27th of August, one on the 3rd of September. Now, we have the Clarksburg area covered both weeks. So anything north of that, Bridgeport, Fairmont, if you live in one of those areas and you'd be willing to host a prayer meeting where folks in that general area could go, then you know, we certainly encourage it to do that. In preparation for that meeting. Also, near the main office here in the holder outside the office door are, for the members, our financial statements for the first half of this year. You may want to review that before our meeting tonight. And again, as I always do, just encourage you, if you're a member of this church, you got a responsibility to help in making some decisions and a responsibility to just be here to hear what's going on. I will be covering three things tonight. Now, these aren't necessarily items of voting, but I'll be giving you an update on the youth pastor search. There is some movement on that, so I want you to be aware of that. I'll also be updating you on the Family Life Center, and then, as we mentioned, voting tonight about raises for the secretarial and custodial positions, something we did not do for some reason at the beginning of the year this year, so we're going to bring that to light tonight. So you can keep those things in mind. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into the message today. Father, I thank you for everyone who's here. And just ask, Lord, that you would help us to, as best we can, but dependent on you, to clear our minds and our hearts of everything else. Now, Father, there are probably some here that do not feel a great urgency or a great burden over anything, and that's wonderful, but I'm sure there are plenty of folks here who have some heavy burdens to bear. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you just help us to set those things aside, to be able to focus on your word. Your word will not return void. Thank you. Use it today. Use it in the children's church hour, even in the nursery. Work through that ministry today. In Jesus' name, amen. Next to the word holy, the adjective that most often describes the character of a Christian is the word faithful. Now, you would expect that in the New Testament, the word, the adjective that is used to describe believers, what God wants us to be, is the word holy. That does not come as a surprise. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. He said in all manner of our lives, in our behavior, we're to be holy. The way we talk, the way we think, the way we dress, the places we go, everything. We are to be holy. What does that mean? It means we are to be set apart to God and set apart from sin and the world. We're not to be lovers of this world, John said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's convicting words. We're to be holy. But there's another word, not mentioned as often, but yet prevails in the New Testament. Another adjective that describes Christians. It's not the word honest, although we are to be honest Christians. It's not the word just, though we are to be just Christians. It's not the word patient, though we should be patient Christians and gracious Christians and gentle Christians and truthful Christians. But the one word next to that word holiness that so dominates in describing what you and I are or should be is this: faithful. You and I are to be faithful. I just happened to notice when Chris was talking about that song we sang a few moments ago, he mentioned the word twice, the need to be faithful. Well, I don't think there's a person in here who does not understand the reality. If you've spent any time reading your Bible, if you've spent any time reading the New Testament, you know that word is a dominant word in the New Testament, that we're to be faithful. God demands of you and me that which He is. Let me say it again. God demands of you, and He demands of me, that which He is. God is holy, therefore you and I are to be holy. And the Bible tells us God is faithful, therefore you and I are to be faithful. Often throughout the New Testament, we're reminded about the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus. You know this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Many of you have it memorized, and by the way, it's a great verse to memorize because it is a key to getting victory in your life over temptation and sin. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Listen, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Well, that's special because we're told by Paul in the book of Romans that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God will be faithful who called you to salvation to maintain that salvation. That's all His work. Praise the Lord for that. 2 Timothy 2:13. Interesting verse. He says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. I can. I can deny His faithfulness. He can't, because that's who He is. Hebrews 10:23. The end of the verse says this: He is faithful that promised. The Bible says God is not a man that He should lie. Whatever God has promised, that He will do. And you say, well, I'm still waiting for Him to fulfill the promise. Then keep waiting. and learn patience. Faithful is he that promised. And one that means so much, in fact, if you're born again, it means everything to you. 1 John 1:9, written exclusively to Christians. In fact, the whole book of 1 John is written exclusively to Christians. It's a reminder and an encouragement of the genuineness of our salvation. And he points out, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, talking to believers. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. There's no Christian on earth that is now sinlessly perfect. None of us. But here's the reality. He said in 1 John 1:9 to the believers, he says, if we Christians, confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. He is faithful to forgive. Condemnation, according to John 3, and again in Romans chapter 8, was dealt with at Calvary. Our sins were taken as far as the east is from the west. They were buried in the depths of the sea. Our sins and iniquities he remembers no more. The condemnation of our sin was dealt with. And yet we know very plainly, as we study the New Testament, that believers, even Paul sinned. Even Peter sinned. Every believer fails their God at times. But he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins so that we can maintain not a relationship that can never be destroyed, but our fellowship with him. And as was mentioned again in this pulpit this morning, so that his presence is not only here, but his power is here. Not that you just have the presence of God in your life, but that you have the power of God in your life. There has to be a confession of sin when it enters into our life. So he is a faithful God. This is the character of God. And boy, aren't you glad. Aren't you glad your God is faithful? I'm glad he doesn't say, well, you know, I've decided to not secure them. I've decided not to answer their prayer. I've decided not to walk with them. Aren't you glad he's just a faithful God? The character of a child of God should be the same as their fathers. And you and I should also be faithful. So what does it mean to be faithful? Well, I, again, may not need really a definition of the word, but I want you to think about it in these terms. If someone is faithful, they're reliable. If someone is faithful, they are trustworthy. If someone is faithful, they're true. They're true to their word. In the Old Testament, and this is the only Old Testament verse I'll mention this morning, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says this, Most men will proclaim their own goodness. Boy, isn't that true? Aren't we quick, and I'm no different, to toot our own horns about how good we are. But then Solomon said, but a faithful man, who can find? I was thinking yesterday as I was reviewing this, we got some really faithful people in this church. And I want to call out some names, but I know if I started calling out some names, there'd be people that I would not mention that deserves to be mentioned. But you know what? They're not trying to gain a name. In fact, they never toot their own horns here. They don't walk around and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look what I did. They're just faithful. They're in their place. They do their ministry. Whatever it is that they're being faithful in, they're just there. And we have people here who, not many anymore, but some who were here at the early stages of the birth of this church, probably 4, 5, 6 people that still remain. And one of the characteristics of those people is they're just faithful people. Just like they were then when the church started, they're still faithful today. Still doing the same jobs, many of them, they're just faithful people. Faithful. God wants you. God wants me to be faithful. So I ask myself, am I faithful? Am I found in his eyes trustworthy and reliable? This is a simple message, and maybe all the messages should be simple. Just 3 thoughts this morning I want you to think about. The first is this: in what should I be faithful? In what should I be faithful? When you look here at Luke chapter 16, I want you to begin with me in verse 10. And I want you to notice these words of Jesus. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Just two thoughts, one out of verse 10, one out of verse 12. He says, we're to be faithful in that which is least. Or maybe you could put it this way, we're to be faithful over the little things. The things that in the grand scheme of life may not seem so important. We don't have kids in the auditorium right now, but if they were here, I would tell them, learn to be faithful now in the little things. It may not seem like a big deal to make your bed, but it will help determine your character when you're 35 years of age. May not seem like a big deal to be on time to work. I was just talking to Bob Miller a few moments ago, and he and Rosie were out of town, went to a place just to spend a few days away, and they went to all these restaurants, and they're all closed. And it's like, this is a place where restaurants are supposed to be open, and the reason for it is can't get people to work. If a man will not work, what? Neither should he eat. If a man's not willing to take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. That's rough, but that's what the Bible says. We're to be faithful. And if you'll learn while you're young to be faithful to the responsibilities you're given. Listen, mowing the lawn isn't going to change the world, but it will change you. Making your bed won't change the direction of this country, but it will change your direction. It may determine your work ethic or how lazy you are as an adult. Learn to be faithful in that which is least. I began to think about all of us. Am I faithful to my family? God wants you to be faithful to your family. Well, that's not necessarily news, but yet we watch Christians' homes fall apart all the time. Men not faithful to their wives, and wives not faithful to their husband. In fact, one of the characteristics of the last days is families beginning to come against each other. Children turning against their parents, and even parents against their children. That's one of the characteristics of the last day. And you're going to see more and more of that because we are in the last days. You're going to see more and more of this. God said, I want you to be a faithful man, a faithful woman. I want you to be faithful to your family. How about faithful to your employer? You say, well, if you knew my boss, if you knew what I had to put up with, well, I don't need to know. All I need to know is what God says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Froward, someone who's perverse, someone who is crooked. You ever worked for someone who's crooked? My first job out of high school, 18 years of age, I worked for Schumacher Lumber Company up in Hartville, Ohio. If you've seen the Schumacher home signs, I think that's out of the old Schumacher Lumber there in Hartville. And first job I had was working in a machine press room, 10 hours a day. Didn't like it, but that was my job. And I remember I had to operate this machine, had to make grooves and metal frames, and had to take a piece off the cart, do this work, and hour after hour just doing the same mundane thing. And I remember one day I'm doing my job, and the foreman walked up behind me. I'm 18. I'm not 28, I'm not 38. I haven't been there for, 15 years. I'm new to the company. And the way I was picking up the pieces and turning, I was taking like an extra step, like there was an easier way to do it. And he recognized it. So he didn't come up and say, son, let me show you how you can make this a little bit easier on yourself. He came, Vaughn, what are you doing? You know, he just started, whoa. You know, like I wasn't doing anything wrong. I just needed a little help to do how to do it a little more effectively, save a little bit of time, get a little more product done. He was just a kind of a nasty guy. But that was my job. It didn't matter if I thought that he was a froward man. That was my job, and I owed him allegiance. Now, we hear all the time of people not going to work. I sat in the office of one of our members years ago at his business, and one of his employees called and said, I'm just not coming in today. Why? Because I don't feel like it. The guy just didn't want to come in, so he wasn't going to come in. He would hire people, and they would never show up for the first day of work. He would hire them and never show up for the first day of work. That's not faithful. That's not reliable. That's not trustworthy. We need to be faithful. And it doesn't matter if the person you work for is good and gentle or they're froward. God said, you owe them. You are, when you punch in that time card, you are now their servant and they are now your master. They tell you when to take lunch break and how long. They tell you what you can do, what you cannot do during those hours. Whether it's an 8-hour, 10-hour, 12-hour shift, they tell you what to do. And it's their right and privilege. Are we faithful? Faithful to your ministry. Faithful to your ministry. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, now listen to this, to faithful men. You notice Paul said to Timothy, you're pastoring now the church of Ephesus. There are going to be people who are faithful, and you're going to have people in your church that are not, do not have the characteristics of faithfulness. So Timothy, don't waste your time surrounding yourself with men that you know their character is not one of faithfulness. Now, if I was in the church of Ephesus and Timothy wasn't asking me to be part of that group of men, I'd begin to question myself. What is it about me that this man, this pastor, does not find as faithful, that he cannot depend on me? Whatever you do in this church, whether it's passing out a bulletin, whether it's working in that nursery, whether it's driving a church van, whether it's going out telling people about Jesus, which is actually what our teachers are required to do, you ought to be faithful. You ought to be faithful to those things. Faithful to your service to the Lord in ministry. You say, it's not going to necessarily make the church grow just because I get on time to my ministry. But it may change the life of one person who walks through that door back there and is having a difficult day, and a smile on your face, and you're there to greet them when they walk in, and you just might pull them back from the brink of depression. Who knows? Who knows what God may do just because you're faithful? I was up at D. Watson's house on Friday, spent some time with her. And somehow she was telling me about Dave. Of course, you know how much she loved her husband. It's hard to believe he's been gone 9 years. That's hard to believe. When he was still living, they liked watching West Virginia football. So once in a while, they'd go up to the stadium, and they would watch West Virginia football game. And she said something interesting to me. She said, you know, Dave and I would go to the game. She said, I would make Dave leave in the middle of the third quarter. Like if they had a 3 o'clock or 3:30 kickoff, she would make Dave leave. Now if I were her husband, I probably would be very upset at that, but Dave was kind of calm with her and, you know, okay, we'll leave. And she said, now listen, if we stay, then we're going to get stuck in traffic and, you know, we're going to have to stop and get supper on the way back. And by the time I get back, I won't be able to finalize my lesson for my primary class. Now, she just told me that she spent almost every day of the week studying for her class. But she had, in her mind, she had to have Saturday to finalize it, to bring it all together. And she would make her husband, and she said this, she said, you know, at the time of the game when things really get interesting, I would make him get up and leave. Now, that sounds like D. Watson. I just got to be honest, that sounds like D. Watson. But you know what D. was? Faithful. Faithful to prepare a lesson. Faithful to those children. And anybody who has history in this church knows that she had a reputation of seeing students saved in her class. She always had her classroom decorated to the hilt, wanted those kids to feel so welcome when they came in, and just faithful. And she's not hanging, you know, in the Christian Hall of Fame up in Canton, Ohio. There is the Christian Hall of Fame up in Canton. Her picture does not hang there. But I wonder if God, in God's Hall of Fame, if she might be there. Just a faithful person. And we could go on and on. Faithful to abide by the rules. You know, like we could talk about all these things that may not seem earth-shattering or earth-moving, yet they tell a lot about me and they tell a lot about you as to what we really are, whether we're faithful. He says in verse 12, we're to be faithful in that which is another man's things. Our young people went to the wilds, was it 2-3 weeks ago? And about 2 or 3 weeks in advance, we put our Chevy van in the shop. That's the one that we were going to use to take our young people down to the wilds. It's down in Brevard, North Carolina. So we put it in just to go over it, you know, make sure that everything's ready. They found a few minor things. They call me, say, hey, it's ready. You know, everything looks good. We just had to replace a gasket on the muffler system and something else. But, you know, just minor stuff, but it's ready to go. So we get it out. And, of course, it's the week of Bible school, so we use it all week long. And Nick's driving the route, and he pulls in, and somebody says, I heard a clicking in the driver's side rear tire. So a couple of men got the van and drove it around and tried to listen, and sure enough, there was a clicking noise. So somebody said, ah, sounds like what you hear sometimes when the brakes are wearing out. And I'm thinking, now, we told them to go over everything, but maybe they didn't do that. So we put it back in the shop after Bible school was done. A few days later, they call and they said, well, we found a broken emergency cable. We replaced that, and there was a frozen bolt, you know, and the calipers there on the brake, so we replaced that, fixed that, so maybe that's what you're hearing. We get it back, and I'm driving it back to the church, and it's shimmying. And it's like, that doesn't feel right. Wednesday night, and here again, here's a faithful man, Nick. He's always driving that van, pick up those kids, doesn't get back here till like 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights, doesn't complain about it, just does his job. And he said, Pastor, when I had that van out, it was really shimmying bad. Don't know what's going on, but they cannot take this to North Carolina. Make a long story short, we put it back in the shop. A few days before we're to leave for camp, the shop cannot figure out what is wrong with the van. And it's like, well, we can't take the risk of using that van. So we did what we have done in past years. A lot of years we'll rent vans. We call the rental agencies. Nobody has a 15-passenger van. It's like, oh, no. And so I called Pastor Maddox over at Bible Baptist, and he said, yes, you can use one of our vans. And I said, would you mind if we use your travel trailer too? And he said, sure. And so Daisy and Tom, they were the sponsors, took the kids down, had a great week. And Tom texts me on Saturday when they're returning. He says, we'll be in about 5 o'clock. I'm thinking, hey, they're going to leave early and get here in good time. Well, 7:30 comes, and they're just pulling in. So it's like something must have happened, and they had some issues coming back. So when they finally get in, I watch them. I'm just watching from the house. I see all the people unload and saying their goodbyes and, you know, finally getting everybody off. And then I watch Tom and Daisy pull that van around. They and their daughters, Cassie and Chloe, took that van and took out all the bench seats, took them all out, and thoroughly cleaned out that van. Now, it was already late. It was gone at 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30, and they're still here. And they do not live close to the church. They got a long way to go when they come to church. And I'm thinking, you know, they've spent all day driving, got in 2 hours late, And they're taking time to do that. It's not our van. It belongs to somebody else. It's another man's thing. They finish that. They drive over to Bible Baptist Temple. They are parking the trailer where it's supposed to be. Tom checks it out one last time and finds out that the combination lock that was supposed to be on it has somewhere fallen off between here and Brevard. So they decided to go look for it between here and Brevard. No, they didn't do that. But they drive over to Walmart, and they buy a lock, and then come back to Bible Baptist Temple and set that lock so they'll have the same combination as the old lock. Plus, they filled up the van so it was filled with gas before returning it. And I have no idea what time they got home. And I'm sure Daisy was a very happy camper that night. Here's my point. It wasn't our van. He never told us we had to have it refilled. He never told us we had to have it cleaned out. He never said if we lost the lock, we'd have to replace it. Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Being faithful, listen, being faithful in that which is another man's. That is faithfulness. That is reliability. That's trustworthiness. And we should all have that kind of an attitude. I hear about people asking to borrow a pickup. And I've heard this even from men in our own church. Yeah, I let a guy use my pickup truck, and when they brought it back, it was full when they took it, and it's only half full. They didn't even take time to put gas back in it for me. Brought it back, and it was a filthy mess. Be faithful in that which belongs to another man. Just a simple thing, but you say, what should I be faithful in? Things like that. Things that may not mean a whole lot to others and may not affect you. At least we don't think it's going to affect us. But we should be faithful in these things that Jesus mentions. Secondly, why should I be faithful? Well, it's a very simple answer, so we'll get right to it. You should be faithful because it is required. It is required. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm so glad the day I got saved that I became part of God's family. I am literally His child. The Bible clearly teaches me that. I'm a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. He also tells us that we have this wonderful intimate relationship called spiritual marriage. He is the bridegroom and I'm part of the bride. He tells His disciples before He goes to Calvary, He said, guys, listen to me. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know what his Lord does, but I'm going to start telling you everything. You're my friends, not my servants. I think, now this is just my opinion, that at that moment, the attitude of a believer as a servant is removed. We're a child, we're part of the bride, and we're friends. But I notice this in the New Testament, even though Jesus said, you're no longer servants, I find that almost every writer in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, James, Jude, Paul, whoever it may be, they all said, Jude, the servant of, James, the servant of, John, the servant of, Paul, the servant of. They didn't have to call themselves that. But it was a privilege to be a servant. What does the word steward mean? It means a manager of a household or an estate. And then when you look at the definition, it says, these were slaves. In other words, when a man had a steward, they were normally part of their slave population. They, in a sense, promoted the slave, not giving him the possessions to possess, but giving the master's possessions for the steward to manage. Listen, here's what the Word of God does tell me. I am not my own, for I am bought with a price. And whatever I really have does not really belong to me. It really belongs to God. That's what David said. All that you have given me belongs to you. And the things that I'm giving to you are actually yours in the first place. I'm paraphrasing there, but there were King David spoke about the preparation for the temple. He said, this is the reality. So while I don't have to look at myself as a servant, I look at myself as a son, it's still a privilege to be a servant to Jesus Christ. It's still a privilege to be able to be considered a steward, to, in a sense, manage the things of God through my life. And you too have the privilege of being a steward to manage the things that God has given to you so that you, in your life, can glorify His name. And you should be faithful in whatever it is that God has called you to do. Faithful, trustworthy, reliable to do those things. You know, if you go to get a job, there are requirements you have to meet, aren't there? Some jobs require you to have a college education. Some jobs require you to have experience. Some jobs require you, let's say you're going in for some kind of a secretarial type position, you got to be able to type so many words per minute. I mean, there are requirements. Some jobs require uniforms and so forth. There are requirements. And we wouldn't hesitate to fulfill those requirements if we want to eat, if we want shelter over our heads, and if we want clothes to wear. We won't hesitate to do those things. There are requirements in the Christian life, in your personal lives, in your own homes, but also in the church house among believers. There are requirements. Quite a period of time ago, I had a conversation with someone that was not fulfilling their requirements, and they eventually left the church. We have to be faithful to the things we have said we will be faithful to. Do you agree with that? I mean, if you say, I'm going to take this ministry and I'm going to do it, should it not be that we fulfill the requirements of it? Amen. That we be faithful to it? That should not even be a question. And God says, I want you as my steward, as my servant, to be faithful. Because it's required. Just as it's required in a child of God to be holy, it's required in a child of God to be faithful, no matter what area it is. It's a requirement. And then the last thing this morning I want you to see. How long should I be faithful? How long should I be faithful? Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. So here's the answer. How long should you and I be faithful? Till I die. That's it. You say, when do I get to retire from this? Well, listen, I'm not against retirement. Even pastors retire. Sometimes it's best they retire. Why? Because they don't have the ability, the mental capacity anymore as they once did. And I'm very aware of that. I'm not a young man anymore. I'm 63. I don't think I'm super close to that, but I'm changing. And I recognize that. There may come that day where that is necessary. So please don't take it that I don't think anybody should retire from their job. I don't mean that at all. My point is this. We just need to be faithful. Because really, you never get out of God's army. You never should have the attitude, even though we're not necessarily by the Lord called servants. That should be our heart attitude. And we should just be faithful to the end. Faithful till we die. We at times hear believers who have lived faithful lives, but at the end, they failed. I remember telling you about 3 years ago of a pastor who was in his 80s, apparently still pastoring at the time, had been faithful to his wife for years, and in his 80s, committed adultery. Now, I can't even fathom that, to be honest. But a man in his 80s, a minister in his 80s, committed adultery. All those years, faithful, 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 and at the end failed. We should be faithful to our convictions. Everybody has preferences, and everybody views this thought of convictions in a little bit different style. But whatever convictions the Lord has brought into your life, you ought to be faithful to them. You just ought to be faithful. Maintain your integrity first before the Lord. And if you maintain your integrity before the Lord, you will maintain your integrity before men. And if there is something that the world needs to see in believers, it's integrity, faithful to our convictions. But sometimes there are people who say they believe certain things. Yes, sir, I believe this, I believe that. These are my convictions, and all of a sudden, that all goes out the window. And then the lost say, I thought, well, that makes no sense. You said, listen, faithful to your convictions. Let's just throw this out, faithful to the house of God. It's an issue. It's an issue. Especially since COVID came into our lives. Just need to be faithful to the house of God. Faithful in our service. Now, I believe that the Word of God teaches that things should be done through the auspices of the local church. In other words, we are a church family, and most of you are members of this local body. And there is, in a sense, strength in numbers in what you do. It should be through the auspices of the local church. That's not to say there cannot be ministries that you have outside the local church. Brother Nick has a Bible study for students at Pierpont. Approval of the administration there at Pierpont. He has a student Bible study. Well, that's not really part of this church. That's something he does beside all the other things he does here at this church. When Brother Jack Streets was here and Brother Dave Trobaugh, they decided to start a ministry over at the Veterans Administration Nursing Home. It had just been built, and Brother Streets got a burden for it. So he and Dave Trobaugh and Brother Harold also helped him with this. They went in, they were trained. I mean, they had to go through a long period of training in order to minister. Now, that wasn't, so to speak, sanctioned by Grace Baptist Church. But if you know anything about Jack Streets, and if you know anything about Harold McCrae, you know these are faithful men, and they serve through the local church. But they had that ministry. So again, I'm not saying that you cannot have a ministry that is not connected with this church, but I'm saying the majority of the things we do, we should do through the local church. For what reason? Because there's strength in it. You know, the Old Testament saying, if you're by yourself, you'll fall, two, you'll stand. Threefold cord is hard to be broke. And the more you have, the encouragement is there. The more you have, the more you can get accomplished. There's strength in working through the church family. Having said that, we ought to seek, every person in this room who's a member should seek to serve. I didn't say just attend. I said serve through this local church and be faithful to it. I just want you to ask yourself, what are you doing to help promote the name of Christ through this local church? What are you doing? What are you doing on a faithful, consistent basis to help promote Jesus Christ through your church? I know it's His church, but this is the church that you've chosen to anchor in. So what are you doing? Are you still faithful to pray? You know, the New Testament talks about prayer that it's labor. And I mean interceding for other people. Getting down and serious about praying for others. And I will say this, it is work. You say, you ever get tired of praying? Yes. I'm just being honest with you. I don't get up every morning and say, oh yeah, I get to spend a whole bunch of time in prayer. Woo-hoo! I don't do that every morning. Sometimes it's easy. A lot of times it's not. But I need to be faithful to it. Some of you, listen, especially those in our congregation who are older, and maybe you cannot do what you once did physically, one thing you can do, you're retired, you got the time, you can be prayer warriors, and you can spend quality time and quantity time in prayer. And I want to encourage you to it. You may not be able to go out on those streets anymore and go door to door. You may not be able to do like you used to do and, you know, handle a class of little kids anymore. Even for those who are younger, that's sometimes difficult, but you can pray. You can give yourself to the ministry of prayer. So how long should you do it? Till you die. Till you die. Faithful to this. How long should I read this book? I won't tell you how many times I've read through this book, but I could say I've read enough. Either till I go blind, or to the day I die, or to the day that it comes and takes me home, I will do what I did this morning and get up and spend time alone with Jesus Christ and let Him speak to me, because He does speak to me through this book, and He'll do it for you too. So how long should you be faithful to the Word of God? How long should you be faithful to prayer? How long should you be faithful to service? How long should you be faithful to your convictions? How long should you be faithful to remain holy unto death? I'm so glad that verse doesn't end there. Now that verse in Revelation chapter 2 is actually dealing with the church that was going through heavy persecution. We're not going through heavy persecution yet. But most Christians are around the world. Now listen to this. That passage deals with persecution, and he says to those believers who are being persecuted, be thou faithful unto death. And when he said death, he wasn't thinking about, you know, stretched out there in the bed at, you know, 86 years of age and have your family surrounding you and you're saying your sweet goodbyes. And no, it's like dying in a prison or having your head cut off. Martyrdom. And he says, you be faithful unto death. Well, none of us are facing those kind of things. Our lives, in comparison to those in Niger, in North Korea, in Myanmar, Afghanistan, our lives are pretty soft. Would you say? Would you agree with that? So if they could be faithful, we can be faithful. If that church at Revelation 2 could be faithful, God says, you be faithful. For how long? Till you die. Till you die. But he didn't end it there with them. He said, oh, and after you die, now listen to this, I will give you the crown of life. You see, here's the motivation to be faithful in any of these areas. God rewards His own. God rewards His own. There'll come a day where you stand before Him and He will honor you for being faithful. Husband, faithful to your wife and never ceasing. Children, faithful to your parents until the day you walk out of their house. Sunday school teacher, faithful to study God's Word and love your students until the day they leave your class. Faithful. And He will reward you for it. That's His promise, not Pastor Vaughn's promise, His promise. There's benefit in being faithful. So I trust you will be. You say, Pastor Vaughn, I am being faithful. Praise the Lord if that's true. If you sit here this morning, you say, but that's not necessarily true of me. Then you know what you can do? You can make it right. And from this moment, you can be faithful. Whatever area God may have spoken to you about this morning, you can be faithful to Him. I want you to bow your heads for prayer. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, just want you to think this morning, are you being faithful? And again, I mean this sincerely. You say, Pastor Vaughn, I am being faithful. Oh, Pastor, there's some things that God has challenged me about, and I've made a commitment, and I've been faithful all these months or all these years. Then praise the Lord for that, and He'll reward you for being faithful. If there's some things that maybe God has spoken to you about, maybe have nothing even spoken about in the message this morning, then I want to encourage you. Make the decision this morning. God, I'm going to repent of it, and I'm going to become faithful in this area, whatever it may be. Would you just think about that this morning? Father, I pray you take what we have heard and use it for your glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. I'm going to have you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. And if you need to use the altar this morning, just encourage you to come right now. If God has spoken to you, or if you can make an altar right there where you're standing, just to be faithful to Him, because He's faithful to you. Here's another thing that God is faithful in. He's faithful to save when you ask. And if you have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive all your sin, if you've never come to the point where you by faith have believed Him for what He did for you on Calvary, that He gave His life for you, that He shed His blood to cleanse you from your sin, and after 3 days and three nights, He rose again physically from the dead to give you victory. If there's never been that moment where you've confessed that and asked Him to be your Savior, He'll do that if you ask Him. He'll do that if you ask Him. You can do that right now where you stand. And if you happen to do that, I'd sure be thrilled to know that. Ask him. You can look this way this morning. I appreciate you being here and look forward to seeing you back at 5:00 this evening. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer and just ask God to give you safety traveling on home. Keith Davis, would you mind just closing us in prayer this morning, please?